Bud Steen joins us.
You know, I just sat through that last segment and I could barely hang on. I had to walk out the door. About the only thing I can say about that is if you're going to have name writing competitions, I'll judge.
Yeah. Okay. Nice. There you go. It's tough. Now, earlier I said I thought that game, Toronto-Edmonton, and I've watched almost every CFL game this year, I thought that was the best officiated game. Do you guys rank, like, is there, I know that you evaluate all the games, yeah, and you evaluate the officials. Is there a total combined group score that they get at the end? Like, is it out of 100? How does it work?
So each official is graded out of 100.
Okay.
And
so then there's 700 total points?
That's right.
Okay, so what's the highest score this year?
Saturday's game.
Oh, so it was the best.
698.
So 2 points deducted.
That's right.
What did they get deducted for?
One of them I deducted on a missed hold, and another one, you know, I don't even remember. I've watched so damn much football. I think there were a couple of missed holds.
Okay.
I mean, really inconsequential stuff. No, that was a very, very well-played game. It was a very well-officiated game. I thoroughly enjoyed watching it. The defensive action, that's not August football that those two teams were playing. They were beating the hell out of each other. There's a lot of guys bruised after that game. And that kind of football you don't expect to see until September. It was a fun game, and good for the home team. If we can get the number of penalties down, that one I think we were down around 22 total penalties. The goal would be to get below that. I know that Coach Jones is focused on 8 for his squad, and that's why he's got the officials coming out to practice every week and dealing with the players and throwing flags and blowing whistles and that, so that we get the number of infractions down on a per game basis.
There's a few things. We're near the halfway point. Offensive offside has skyrocketed this year.
Yes, it has, hasn't it? Yes, it has.
Okay. Why?
Well, one of the factors could have to do with the new quarterbacks, the change in quarterbacks. In-game changes with quarterbacks. We've seen a number of starters leave the game, but we've got a whole bunch of new starters in new places, and I think that's got something to do with it. It's taking a while for the players to get used to a cadence in that. And secondly, I think it has something to do with just how strong the defenses are, and I believe that the offenses are a little bit concerned, and they're trying to get a jump and maybe putting themselves into precarious positions and getting offside. We haven't changed our standards at all. We're just calling what they're throwing at us, and yet they're more than double last year.
And a lot of it's from receivers.
Yes.
There's way too many receivers offside.
Yep.
So are they, and a lot of them isn't even from the guy in motion sometimes. It's just the wide receiver on the far side. So when team, like if Coach Jones comes to you and says, okay, what are my receivers doing wrong? What are you seeing? Why are more receivers, so many of them, offside this year?
Well, with the Eskimos, for example, for the most part, I think it's motion to the line. Although last week in practice, I did notice that one of their players felt it important to have his foot slightly over the line of scrimmage. And I mentioned that to the receivers coach, and he had corrected it by Saturday. There was no issue on Saturday. So, it might be just trying to get that extra tiny little jump on guys. The speed is up in the game. It gets faster every year. And, the receivers are having a harder time getting open. And, they're going to do whatever they can to give their quarterback a target.
Bud Steen joins us inside the stripes. The other one, and I saw the Toronto player whose name escapes me right now, just take an absolutely bonehead, unnecessary roughness penalty. Edmonton's a guy was out of bounds by a yard,
yep,
and then he shoved him. Are there more unnecessary roughness penalties this year?
No. We're finding that our unnecessary roughness and roughing the passer penalties are about where they were last year. So far, 94 unnecessary roughness penalties, 37 roughing the passers. The roughing the passers are basically spot on where they were last year. Yeah, and
because there was a lot early, and it seems like they've really calmed down.
That is absolutely correct. The first couple of weeks, the players were coming in hard and high, and they stopped that with a couple of flags and a fine here or there. The strike zone hasn't changed. Nothing has changed in terms of roughing the passer from last year, other than the fact that we're asking the referee to be a little bit more vigilant and to be giving up the action on the line a little bit quicker and getting to the quarterback so they can see the contact. Now, there were, I think, two or three of them in the BC game on Sunday, guys coming in hard to the side. There was a great non-call in Saturday's game. Ricky Ray got hit very hard on the arm as he was releasing the ball, and actually was on the ground for a little bit because he took a pretty good shot in the muscle. But again, it was, you know, ball gone and immediate contact, so it wasn't an illegal hit. I'm less distressed from an officiating perspective. I'm less distressed seeing things like unnecessary roughness penalties than things that are absolutely totally preventable. Objectionable conduct, for example. I get it that you want to get in your opponent's face. Yeah, I know you want to chirp and you want to show up the other side and all of that. But really, if you just calmed it down a little bit, you'd probably save a couple of flags a game, a couple of automatic first downs a game. You will stop perpetuating drives by doing it. And, I think you would find you would find more success as a ball club if you stop that stuff. The offensive offside, you've already talked about. Some of the holdings, the defensive lines, the defensive rush is so overwhelming this year that the poor offensive line players really don't have much opportunity to stop them, and they're just grabbing and doing what they can. So, I would suggest that our holdings are probably up as well. Technique, kicking plays. Lots of fouls on kicking plays this year because, in my personal opinion, the players are being lazy. They're not putting themselves into proper position to make the block. The guy is getting past him and they're grabbing onto a sweater, or they're hitting him on the backside, the back corner, and knocking them down. And those are so easy to see, so easy to call, and my boys aren't missing them. So it's just really playing smart football. If the teams get out there and play smart football, they can get the penalty count down.
You mentioned how you have officials going out to Eskimo practice. Chris Jones wanted to bring him in. How many other teams are doing that?
None.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, would it be open to other teams?
Absolutely. In fact, when Chris first called, he phoned Toronto and asked if officials would come out to his practices. My boss, Glenn Johnson, thought it was a fantastic idea to help try to reduce the number of penalties. We are making it public. I spoke with Jim Daly on Saturday afternoon because Jim used to be a special advisor to the officiating department, and he and I have a good relationship. And I told him what we were doing here, and he thought it was a good idea. I suggested that he see if they wanted to do it in Toronto. But quite honestly, I've been in this game. I've worked for the Canadian Football League since 1981, and this is the first time a team has ever asked this. It just boggles my mind that they wouldn't have thought that there could be some connection between the number of fouls in a game and their success.
Now, I haven't looked at the numbers of infractions. Does Edmonton have fewer?
Yes.
Really?
Yes, they are down. Yes.
Okay. But are they the least penalized team in the league?
No, I don't know that. Okay. I'll check that for next week. But I know that over their road trip, Montreal-Ottawa, they went out there averaging 14 a game, and they came back 12 a game. So Coach Jones was very pleased about that, and he was under 12 on Saturday.
Well, clearly the players are getting the message, and it would make sense in theory when you think about it, because I think a lot of players and a lot of fans just, I've had a lot of people text into the show, email the show since we've had you on doing this show now, or this is our second year, saying, I thought what the rule was, And I was wrong.
Yes.
And I'm sure there's a lot of players who, okay, you know what, pass interference. So the coach tells you his version of what the referees are going to call as pass interference, and that's clearly, in a lot of cases, not right.
That is absolutely correct. And so when I'm out at practice, I'll first talk to the coach, and if necessary, I'll talk to the player and just, you know, give them my perspective on things, and I will tell them what we are looking for, what our triggers are, and suggest to them that maybe they find another way of either getting free or covering the receiver.
Is this something that the Huskies, the Wildcats, the Golden Bears, you know, high school football teams, is this something you think that they would do? Now, I understand that, you know, obviously the Eskimos, I'm guessing, are paying the officials to come out during practice.
No, they're not.
They're not?
No.
Really?
No, the league is.
Okay, so somebody's paying
there,
the guy.
There is some compensation.
Okay, there is some compensation. Yeah. So I don't know if Edmonton Minor Official Association would be able to compensate them. But if teams agreed, if I was a coach of a high school football team, I would bring the officials out the start of midway through training camp or before the season once, and then at the middle of the season, at least as a refresher, so my kids get a good idea of what to be expected and the officials are going to call.
If there's any high school coach out there that would like that to happen, just get a hold of us through this program, and I will contact Kelly Edgeworth, the president of the Edmonton Football Officials Association, and we will do what we can to get somebody out to your camp so that we can help you, help teach the players. And quite frankly, let's not stop there. I mean, either the junior teams.
Yeah.
You know, we're happy to help. Fans don't like flags. Players don't like flags.
Well,
we don't like flags. You know,
exactly.
You know, we just want to make the ball available so that the kids can go out and score touchdowns and, you know, set it up for the convert and let's go. And that's all we want to
do. Like I've always said it in hockey, when I sit in a crowd and I see some parent losing their marbles over a call on the ice, I'm like, well, you do know that sometimes your kid actually caused an infraction, right? Like it is possible that little perfect Johnny actually did trip the player or what have you. And a lot of them don't really understand the rules or, more importantly, how they're supposed to be called. Right?
Right.
How what you define as tripping doesn't necessarily mean that's what, like, there's obviously ones that are pretty obvious calls. But especially in football, from the angle that you're at, if you're down in the corner watching the game from your vehicle and they're at the other end of the field, for you to have any sort of educated opinion on what the official sees on the field is asinine.
I'd agree with you. Yes.
But I didn't know the Eskimos were the only team that does that. And clearly, that can work out to be a huge advantage for them if they're having fewer penalties called.
Certainly.
You got to think other teams are going to follow suit soon.
Hope so.